Hello, everybody. With Bob Christopher and Richard Piper, I'm Bob Davis, and this is Basic Gospel. We are here live to address your questions and real-life issues by phone at 1-800-677-9377. If there's something you'd like to talk about, call now. 1-800-677-9377. The Word of God offers true freedom and life in Jesus Christ, and we invite you to stay tuned and take part to learn how the Basic Gospel intersects with your life every day. Hear it. Believe it. Live it. It's Basic Gospel. Now here's Bob Christopher.
Well, thanks, Bob. Basic Gospel is simply this. Jesus Christ is alive, and He's alive, living in those who have come to know Him by faith. That is the good news, and I love what John wrote in his first letter, "Greater is He that is in us than he who is in the world." And certainly as believers, we do have an enemy. Peter said this about our enemy. He said in the fifth chapter of the first letter, "Be self-controlled and alert." I think that's a wonderful admonition to each and every one of us. We need to live self-controlled and alert lives. Why? Because our enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion looking for someone to devour. This spiritual warfare is not a made-up topic. It's not something of fantasy and imagination. It's real. We have an enemy. We saw that enemy in the Garden of Eden. Just reread that Genesis account of what took place there. Satan was real, and he did some powerful things to divert the attention of Adam and Eve away from God and faith and dependence upon Him to this tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And so he's been doing that ever since, and he's trying to divert us away from Christ Jesus. And so Peter simply writes this: be self-controlled and alert. Recognize that we have an enemy. And when we recognize that, then we're not going to be surprised at the temptations that come our way, the trials and tribulations that come our way, even those thoughts and desires that we have within that are contrary to what we would think a Christian would think, right, and desire. Those things are real. Be sober to that. Be alert to that. If you are, then you can recognize where victory comes, and that's through faith in Jesus Christ. And all of this this information about the devil is couched in terms of attitude. Humble yourselves, therefore, under God's mighty hand. You're not going to defeat Satan. You're not going to be able to discern his schemes.
Sure.
On your own. You need God's Spirit. Therefore, humble yourselves under His mighty hand. And then he says, resist him, standing firm in the faith. Your strength is in the Lord, not in yourself. It's in Christ Jesus. And as you walk in dependence upon Him, you can experience victory over this enemy that's prowling around seeking to devour whoever he can.
Yes, indeed. Well, you found Basic Gospel. We're glad that you did. We'd love for you to join us on the phone at 1-800-677-9377. Plenty of time, plenty of open lines, calls beginning to come in, but still room for you if you dial quickly. 1-800-677-9377.
Well, thanks, Bob. Let's go and talk with Louise, listening to us in Brooklyn, New York, listening on WMCA. Hi, Louise.
Hi, how are you?
Doing wonderfully well. Nice to hear from you.
Likewise. I called a few times, but I didn't get you guys. You're off the air already. What I want to ask you, I'm so confused. I keep asking this question, and I still don't understand. What does it mean to pray in the Spirit? I don't understand. I don't understand what that means, to pray in the Spirit.
Well, Louise, let's make it simple for you. To pray in the Spirit simply means to pray according to truth. Pray according to the truth of God's love and grace. That's all it means to pray in the Spirit. We want to try to make it mystical, magical.
Right.
We want it to be some sort of experience. And I think the Word of God just really gives some practical handles to that. Praying in the Spirit is simply praying according to truth, praying according to the will of God for your life. That's all it means. Why? Because it takes the Spirit of God to teach us truth, to teach us about the love of God. So if we're praying in the Spirit, we're praying in regards to those things that are important to the Spirit. And that's truth. That's the things of the Lord Jesus. That's the will of God for our lives.
So like that's, Christ was when he prayed to his Father?
Absolutely.
Yeah. Oh, okay. And another question, if I might ask. When you're speaking, because it says in the Bible, don't be repetitious, say the same thing over and over again, because God does know what you need. When you're just talking to God, just having conversation, you know, Father, this isn't going too well for me, or, you know, having a hard time, is that sort of like praying? That's how I, or
oh.
No?
Absolutely, Louise. That is exactly what prayer is. It's simply communication with your Heavenly Father.
Oh.
That's all it is. And because you're in such a tight-knit relationship, he has sent his Spirit to live inside of you. And so God's Spirit is constantly bringing things to your mind, to your thinking. And so all day long, you're having this running conversation with him about anything and everything.
Yeah.
And that's simply what prayer is.
True. Okay. Thank you.
You're welcome, Louise. Hey, it's so nice to hear from you. Thanks for your call today.
Indeed. 1-800-677-9377. We have plenty of space for you. If you have a question, something you'd like to talk about, a particular life issue you're facing, well, give us a call. We'll discuss it with you at 1-800-677-9377.
Well, thanks, Bob. We're going to go and talk to our friend Moses listening to us on WMCA. Hi, Moses.
How's it going, guys? I just want to tell the sister that praying in the Spirit also is speaking in tongues.
No,
the Bible
it's not, Moses. That's not what it is at all.
The Bible specifically said the person that speaks in tongues prays in the Spirit. Is that not in the Bible?
Speaking in tongues is not necessarily praying in the Spirit.
You just said that. I'm not saying that. Praying according to truth is not praying in the Spirit, but speaking in tongues is not praying in the Spirit.
Well, it simply says this: everyone who prophesies speaks to men for their strengthening, encouragement, and comfort. He who speaks in a tongue edifies himself, but he who prophesies edifies the church.
So the Bible speaks nothing of. All right, I'll look up that verse, but I know the Bible says, "He who speaks in tongues prays in the Spirit, or speaks in the Spirit." But I'll find that. Basically, the question I had is:
It says this. For if I pray in a tongue, my spirit prays, but my mind is unfruitful. So you don't really know what you're saying. That's what he's talking about. So what shall I do? I will pray with my spirit, but I'll also pray with my mind. I will sing with my spirit, but I'll also sing with my mind. What he's saying is he wants your thinking to be engaged in this whole process. So we look at that and say, see, there, speaking in tongues is praying in the Spirit. I think that's the wrong interpretation based on the context. So, Moses, what was your question today?
Well, I mean, I got to disagree because I think it's pretty clear right there. But my question is, you're speaking about basically our war with the devil because the devil is as a lion. And part of me, I don't want to seem, you know, as I'm an angry Christian or anything like that, you know. I want the church to be edified, and that's from my understanding of the scripture. That's pretty clear. But my question is, Why don't I hear you speak about like the baptism of the Holy Spirit to fight against the devil? Because Jesus spoke, he didn't even give permission to his disciples to go out to even preach before they were baptized after his departure. So that's just my question. You know, how do we fight against the devil without the baptism of the Holy Spirit?
Well, Moses, you know, I'm not sure we're on the same page when we talk about those terms. The baptism of the Holy Spirit is something that happens to every believer. When you received Jesus, Moses, you were baptized by the Spirit, placed into Christ. That was the baptism of the Spirit. You were placed into life, baptized into life, and then God put His Spirit inside of you. That all took place at the moment of salvation.
But didn't the disciples have said that Jesus 10 days before the... Let's say they accepted him after his resurrection. Didn't they accept him 10 days before Pentecost?
Well, Moses, you're talking about a whole different period. You're talking about, you know, God's economy. Here Jesus died, he was buried, he was raised back to life, all according to Scripture. Then he ascended into heaven, and once he ascended into heaven, then he could give the gift of the Spirit, which he did on that day of Pentecost. So that was the first time the Spirit was given. John wrote about that in his Gospel, chapter 7. He said the Spirit had not yet been given because Jesus had not ascended into heaven to take up his rightful place at the right hand of God the Father. So there was a point in time, the day of Pentecost, when the Spirit of God was poured out on man. And that was evidenced that particular day. 3,000 people were added to the church. It was a significant event, one of the most significant events in church history. It was when the church began, so to speak. And then we see the Spirit being poured out on Samaritans. That day of Pentecost, it was poured out on Jews. Chapter 8, it was poured out on Samaritans. Chapter 10, the Spirit was poured out on Gentiles. So God had covered all the people groups. So once that had been done, after that, any person who came to Christ automatically received the Spirit of God. That's just true of every single believer. And so we have the Spirit of God living in us. The Spirit of God brings to our minds truth, and it's that truth that helps us when Satan comes with all of his lies and deceptions. As we stand in truth that is illuminated for us by the Spirit of God, we are able to withstand the devil's schemes. That's how that works.
Okay. One quick question, if I may, right?
Quickly.
Why do we need to pray and fast to cast out demons?
Moses,
if works mean nothing, why do we need to pray and fast?
Moses, it's Jesus' works that mean something, not yours, not mine. Praying and fasting are things that help us connect to Jesus. They're not things that make us stronger individually and help us go out and do great things. It's Jesus who does the great things.
Well, let's not argue. Why did Jesus pray and fast that you fall into temptation? If works weren't needed.
Well, Moses, I don't know what you're getting at. I mean, the Christian life is lived by faith. It's anchored in hope, and it's expressed in love. So love is the byproduct of our faith in Jesus Christ. Love is significant in that it takes on many forms. Sometimes love looks like, listen, Moses, sometimes love looks like a person pulling out their checkbook and writing a check to help somebody in need. Other times, love looks like the gift of encouragement. Other times, it looks like the gift of teaching, when somebody needs some truth and somebody brings the truth of the gospel to them. Love looks like a lot, but all of that love is a byproduct of Christ's Spirit working in and through us. If we would just abide by faith in Jesus, just catch on to that simple truth, that simple imperative of the New Testament, then we could leave the results in God's hand and we would see incredible things take place. Well, Moses, we certainly appreciate your call today. Well, let's go to Mount Vernon, New York, and talk with Oscar. Hi, Oscar.
Oh, yes, sir. I'm listening to this, your explanation of the tongues, and I like it. That's the way I see it. I would like to add something also. In the Second Corinthians, it says that tongues will cease. So I take it it has ceased.
Well, some would say that. I've heard of testimonies of people in foreign lands who were supernaturally given a foreign language to communicate the gospel to somebody that, you know, didn't understand this person's native language, so they were able to hear that gospel message in their native tongue. So you look at that and say, well, that's a supernatural manifestation of God's work to bring the gospel to somebody who needed to hear the gospel and did it in such a way that it made the person stand up and realize, hey, what I'm hearing is truth. So I've heard credible stories on that front. I think a lot of what we see out in the marketplace today is not biblical tongues at all. I mean, when the apostles spoke in tongues the day of Pentecost, it wasn't some utterance that nobody understood. People heard the gospel in their own language, so it was always a known tongue.
That's right. That's correct. Okay, thank you very much.
You're welcome, Oscar. Hey, thanks for your call.
Yes, indeed. Plenty of open lines, time on the clock. Want to hear from you if you have something that is bugging you, perhaps. We'd love to discuss it with you. 1-800-677-9377. If you have a Bible question, good opportunity right now. 1-800-677-9377. And a very special offer going right now, Mr. Christopher.
We do have a very special offer. It's a book called Operation Screwtape, The Art of Spiritual War. Our good friend Andrew, who will actually be joining us Thursday, and then after that, every Wednesday, we're awfully glad to announce that he will be a part of the Basic Gospel team on a regular basis. But he put this book together. It's a fictional account of a demon and how he is teaching other demons the art of deception and the real purposes behind trying to deceive us, what types of things Satan and his band try to deceive us on, things about Jesus, things about his finished work on the cross, things about this new life that we have in Christ. It's a wonderful, wonderful resource. It's easy to read, easy to understand. We want to put it in your hands. It's available for a gift of any amount to Basic Gospel this month. I know you will thoroughly enjoy reading it from cover to cover. So take advantage of this offer.
Operation Screwtape, The Art of Spiritual War. Yours for a gift of any amount to Basic Gospel. Prominent link on the homepage at basicgospel.net or call and speak with our operator during Central Time office hours at 1-800-727-2828. Again, 800-727-2828.
Yeah, Richard, I was thinking about Moses' question and his emphasis on works, you know, just trying to drive that works issue. We have to work for God, do something for God. You know, there's not going to be a single person that goes and stands before God and lays out his good works. What we're going to do as believers is simply listen to Jesus explain all the good works that he did through us. And then everything else is just going to burn up.
Yeah, it's just noise.
It is. It's just total noise. But we get so obsessed with what we're supposed to do or not supposed to do. The only thing the Bible encourages us to do is to walk by faith. And we don't pay enough attention to what that means. When we talk about basic gospel, there are three elements on our side that are important as far as basic gospel is concerned. Faith, hope, love.
Yes.
Basic gospel, the death, the burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ enables us to respond to him by faith. It anchors us in hope, and it gives us an expression of love that we've never had before. Why do we get so caught up on talking about works? It's because we never pay enough attention to what it means to walk by faith. That's what God wants us to do. It's something that is totally foreign to our natural mind. That's why we need to be taught how to walk by faith. And that's what the Spirit of God does. He teaches us about the love of God so that we'll be willing to trust God with every area of life. That's what we read in 1 Peter, where it says, how do you resist the devil? By standing in faith, by being strong in the Lord. That's the real issue. And if we will walk by faith and leave the results of that in God's hands, we will see incredible things flow through us.
Yeah.
That's Basic Gospel.
Yes, indeed. Well, you found Basic Gospel with Bob Christopher, Richard Piper. My name is Bob Davis, and calls coming in, so Bob.
Yes, indeed. It looks like this issue of tongues has sparked sparked some interest. So
yeah.
Let's talk to Dominique, listening to us in Yorktown. Hi, Dominique.
Hi, how are you?
Doing fine, thank you. How can we help you today?
Oh, yes. When you talk about tongues, I've been to a church before where they said they were speaking in tongues, but it wasn't a foreign language to, say, communicate to a certain group there so they could hear the gospel. It sounded like, not to put anyone down, it sounded like gibberish, and I didn't understand what was being said, and nobody interpreted. And
so it had no meaning.
It really didn't have meaning. And then I read in Scripture that Paul said that if there's someone speaking in tongues, someone else should interpret. Otherwise, they should just speak to God themselves.
That's exactly what it says. Now, the whole point of 1 Corinthians 14 is this. Paul was trying to bring order back to the Corinthian body of believers. They were confused. They were in just utter chaos. Their meetings were just, off the charts, confusing. And people coming in were confused. They didn't understand what was going on. And Paul stepped in and said, stop, this is not of God. There's not one single thing that you are doing that is of the Lord. You need to stop it. You need to bring order back to this assembly. And once you do, then the word of God can go out in clarity. People can be encouraged. The lost can be saved. The saved can be built up and to the point that they're experiencing freedom and love one with another. So that was the reason Paul wrote what he wrote. It's not a condoning of tongues. It's an admonishment to those who were abusing that particular gift and pitting it as better than all the other gifts. And Paul said, let's have none of that.
Okay.
That make sense?
Yes, it does.
Okay.
And thank you for clarifying that for me and explaining it in detail. And thank you.
Well, you are welcome, Dominique, and thanks for your call today. Let me put you on hold. We'll send you a copy of Andrew's book, Operation Screwtape. Would love for you to have it, okay?
Okay, thank you.
You hang on the line.
Talk to us a little further about the book, Bob, because we want to make sure everybody understands the importance of understanding the spiritual warfare that we're in.
Well, we are in spiritual warfare, and I think that's the first step in learning how to win those battles, so to speak, is to recognize that we are in a spiritual battle. And this book certainly lays that out and gives us some very practical ways to overcome by faith, not through our strength, but through faith in Jesus Christ.
Yes, indeed. Well, thanks, everybody, for joining us for this edition of Basic Gospel. If you like what you hear each day on this broadcast, please like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter at Basic Gospel RDO. And be sure to tell a friend about Basic Gospel. And keep in mind also that we need your ongoing support to keep Basic Gospel on the air. And to say thank you, as Bob was mentioning, we have this gift for you for a gift of any amount. We have a copy of Andrew's book called Operation Screwtape, The Art of Spiritual Warfare for you. And that's for a gift of any amount to Basic Gospel. And to make your gift and request your copy, call 1-800-727-2828 to speak with our operator. You can do that right now or any time during Central Time office hours, 1-800-727-2828. Or you can visit us online at basicgospel.net and make your request. If you'd like to get late news about the ministry, the activities, upcoming conferences, other events, and information about new resources to aid your spiritual growth in Christ Jesus, join our email list. Just click subscribe in the upper menu when you visit basicgospel.net. Now for Bob Christopher, Richard Piper, and the Basic Gospel team, I'm Bob Davis, inviting you to join us again tomorrow for another live edition of Basic Gospel.